variety of colors, shapes, and sizes. Some of us grow in bunches. Some of us grow alone. Some of us are cupped inward. And some of us spread ourselves out wide. Some of us are old and dried and tougher than we think. Some of us are still in bud. Some of us grow close to the ground. And some of us stretch toward the sun. Some of us feel like weeds sometimes. Some of us carry seeds sometimes. Some of us are prickly sometimes. Some of us smell. And all of us are beautiful. Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I am she and her. And today we are celebrating Flower Communion with all of community. Some who are wiggly, some who have to cough and move around a little bit, and all of it's fine. So we have coffee downstairs after the service, and for those who are online, welcome. And there is a link in your order of service where you can gather with others and talk about the service afterwards. And if you are a visitor today, you are so welcome here. And if you haven't already, there's a little slip of paper in the front of your seats, and you can fill that out so you can get more information about our fellowship. We have so many things happening here during the week, and that is true. We've been here a while, too. We have a lot of things happening here during the week. And today we celebrate Flower Communion, and the children will bring forth the flowers. So now it's time for greeting each other, and our question for today is, what is one of your favorite flowers? And I said one of your favorite because, you know, who can decide? Okay, you may rise and greet one another. What are your favorite flowers? Roses are lovely. What do they look like? Are they here? Oh, daisies. Just the daisies. What's one of your favorite flowers? Holly's gorgeous. How about you? Do you have a favorite flower? Spencer? Spencer. Let's start singing.
Here we go.
Enter every rejoice and come in.
If Vincent would come to the front and help us light our chalice today, we're going to say the words that we say in RE to start our class every day. We light this chalice to celebrate Unitarian Universalism, the Church of the Open Mind, the Church of the Helping Hands, and of the Loving Heart. We take care of the earth and each other.
Say our affirmation.
Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and our neighbors.
Our opening words this morning are by Thomas Merton. There is something in the very nature of my freedom that inclines me to love, to do good, to dedicate myself to others. I have an instinct that tells me that I am less free when I am living by myself alone. The reason for this is I cannot be completely independent. Since I am not self-sufficient, I depend on someone else for my fulfillment. My freedom is not fully free when left to itself. It becomes so when it is brought into right relation with the freedom of another. We will now sing Spirit of Life, and the children will come forward to help us sign that. If you don't know, my name is Izzy. I'm the DRE here at Wolf. That means I'm in charge of the kids' religious education. And today we're going to read a brand new book called Families of a Feather by Fern Wexler. Hold on, I need my clicky thing. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be a bird with wings and feathers and a sharp, pointy beak? Maybe you've noticed bird families outside your window or in your backyard and wondered what it would be like to grow up in a family of birds. Baby birds and their parents spend so much time hiding in their nest, it's difficult to see how the parents take care of their babies. But if you look closely, you might notice that some birds have families just like yours. Your family may be like a blue jay family. Blue jay parents work together to raise their babies. The mom and dad both work hard to look after their chicks and teach them how to fly, how to squawk, how to find their own food. Sometimes they even teach their babies how to make the sounds of other birds. Maybe your family is like an emu family. Emu dads raise their babies all by themselves. They incubate the eggs by sitting on them and keeping them warm for 8 weeks. Once the chicks hatch, they protect them and make sure they don't get into any trouble. No matter what happens, emu dads can be trusted to keep their kids safe. Your family might be like a ruby-throated hummingbird family. Ruby-throated hummingbird moms take care of their babies all by themselves. It's hard work for such a small bird. They bring their babies tiny bugs like mosquitoes to eat.
They also make sure that the nest is big enough to fit their babies until they're all grown up and ready to leave. Perhaps your family is more like a black swan family. Lots of baby black swans grow up with two dads. Black swan dads share everything equally, and they take turns keeping their eggs warm and caring for their babies after they've hatched. When their babies get tired of swimming and looking for tasty plants to eat, their dads let them ride on their backs to rest. You also have a family like an albatross. Many albatross babies have two moms. For several months before their babies hatch, the moms take turns sitting on the eggs to keep them warm. After their babies break out of their shells, one mom stays with them all the time to keep them safe and dry, and the other mom hunts for food and brings them fresh squid or fish right from the ocean. Or is your family like a common merganser's? Not all common merganser's raise their own babies. Some moms lay eggs in other common merganser's nests. The nesting merganser sits on the eggs and then adopts the babies when they hatch. Sometimes a merganser will give her babies to another mom with more experience. And then when she gets older, she'll raise her babies and help other moms raise theirs. If a baby merganser gets lost, another mom will take them in and raise them with her own nestlings. Whether a common merganser adopts or raises her own babies, she cares for them all equally, teaching them how to dive for fish and fly south for the winter. Your family may be like an acorn woodpecker family. Acorn woodpeckers work together in groups to raise their babies. This means the babies live in really big families. They can have three moms, five dads, seven older brothers and sisters, all helping them grow up and become the best woodpeckers they can be. When acorn woodpecker babies grow up, they stay and help their parents raise the next generation, just like their older siblings helped raise them. Not every person is born with a family, and not every bird is either. Austrian brush turkeys hatch all on their own out of a nest made of dead leaves and grass. They learn to be a bird without any help from their mom or dad. They even teach themselves how to fly. And when the brush turkeys get a bit older, they find other turkeys their own age to live with. They sleep together, find food together, and keep each other out of trouble. Human and bird families help their babies by teaching them new things. Your parents might teach you how to ride a bike, and a bird's parents might teach them where to find the best place to sing from, or the coziest place to roost at night, or where to find the most delicious berries. Every person and every bird's family looks different, and they show their love for each other differently too. No matter what your family looks like, remember, families of a feather love together, and everyone deserves to be loved.
We are a diverse people, just as the birds in our story were diverse. We have different ways of thinking and doing things. We have had different experiences. We have had different relationships with what is considered the normal or best way to be in our culture. What we have in common is that we love and want to be kind and good to those we love. And if we have children, we want them to flourish. Today we have the joy of dedicating Paisley Javens. In our Unitarian Universalist tradition, we remind ourselves during this ritual of our commitment to all of our children's flourishing, and our commitment to help them live their values. Will Paisley, her mother and grandmother, come forward? The poet Khalil Gibran says, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself." And this is so true. Children are life's longing for itself. They are precious and sacred. They carry within them, as we all do, bits of the divine.
Angie Noreen, are you ready to dedicate Paisley to your care and the care of the congregation? Will you promise to care for Paisley with all your heart and soul? I'm not going to cry. Will you share with her the beauty and wonder of our world? Will you raise her to love justice and live with compassion? Will you extend to her kindness and courage? Will you help Paisley to discover the divinity within her and to become the person she is meant to be? Like you could stop her. Children of our congregation, will you promise to love Paisley and be her friend?
Yes.
And members of the congregation, will you share with Paisley the beauty and wonder of our world? Will you teach love, justice, and how to live with compassion? Will you extend to her kindness and courage? Do you pledge to help her discover the divinity within her so that she can become the person she is meant to be?
Yes!
Paisley, why don't you step forward? And we are going to bless Paisley this morning. Paisley, you have come to us with stardust in your hair, with the rush of planets in your blood, your heart beating the seasons of eternity, with a shining in your eyes like sunlight. I give you this flower to honor the beauty and divinity that is within you. May you always see this beauty in yourself and trust its light. May you think wise thoughts. May you speak kindly. May you do good deeds. May you serve truth, beauty, justice, and love. May the riches and blessings of life be abundantly yours. So you may have this rose and this beautiful vase with another rose to remember the beauty of yourself and the wonder of this congregation and your parents and grandmother who will hold you. You may go back to your seat.
A reading by the Reverend Sean Parker Dennison in Praise of Limits. A river without banks is instead a marsh, a swamp encroaching, rotting the roots of the tree where songbirds once welcomed the dawn. A pasture without end, missing fences, is not a space of safety from storms of predators or weather. Too much for any dog or shepherd to guard. A person without skin may be a ghost or a pile of bones, unguarded from dirt and disease, unable to touch or be touched, or hold or be held without pain. Life without limit and unfettered festers into something that does more harm than good. It takes more than can be given, becomes death's instrument. Freedom that cannot perceive that others must also be free is not freedom at all, but entitlement. Greedy and overstuffed, the libertine imposter of liberty.
In Unitarian Universalism, the important moment of commitment is joining the congregation as a member. In many faiths, the moment of commitment is conversion or the acceptance of the doctrines of the faith. Unitarian Universalists are not a doctrinal faith. We have no dogmas. We do not ask for those in our congregation to believe specific things. Instead, we ask for something that I believe is more difficult. We ask for members to covenant with one another. We are a covenantal faith. To covenant means to limit one's own behavior in ways that honor others, as Sean Dennison reminds us in his poem. It allows us to be free in a way that perceives others so they can also be free. covenant provides banks so all can flow freely. A covenant offers skin so we can touch and be touched. A covenant reminds us always that we are interdependent, that what I do and how I speak impacts others. So we make promises about how we will be together. And when we break those promises, which is, unfortunately, pretty normal because we are all imperfect, we will restore covenant when it is broken. So I would like to invite those forward who are joining today. Judy Anderson, Avery Egeland, Rob Cassiano, Tree Cassiano. You could come stand up here. Joy Scotch, Nate Rochester, Ange Gavins, Arne Listnoff, Susanne Smallman, Sarah Olson, Eric Olson, Roy Hedin, and Bill Smith, who may not come up if he doesn't want to. Oh, I have more. Richard Jones. He's on my list. Thank you, Richard. Sorry.
Last but not least.
Definitely true. So I'm going to ask, we are just so blessed to have so many wonderful people with us this morning. And so I'm going to ask the congregation to recite the short version of our covenant, and you can as well. And so I'm going to say it back to you. So we covenant to... Take responsibility for our feelings.
Behavior and communication.
To maintain civility and compassion.
In the face of differences.
Take responsibility for the impact of our words and actions. Acknowledge that we all make mistakes. And be generous with apology, forgiveness, and gratitude. We covenant to strengthen our community. By being generous with our time, talent.
Energy and resources.
We covenant to encourage
each other's personal growth.
And to honor Wolf's practices of democracy. Shared ministry and collaborative leadership. So new members, join us in our words of joining. We accept the responsibility and challenges. You actually have the words. We'll just go on. Of membership and enter freely into covenant. We pledge to continue our own journey to seek truth and meaning and to participate in the ministry and envision congregation. So now we have the fellowship response. Love is the spirit of this fellowship, and so we welcome you into our covenant and congregation with love. So part of our tradition is that joining membership means signing the book. And so this morning you will each have an opportunity to sign the book, and the rest of us may stay seated and sing a song with me. Number 346, but it's up there.
Come sing a song with me.
Yes.
Let us be grateful for this amazing day, full of color and joy, and let it remind us that in dark times there is still beauty, love, and new life. Let us also be grateful for all the early stewards of this land, the Chinook, Tualatin, Kalapuya, and Malala peoples, many of whom live among us today. We acknowledge that this beloved land was once theirs, taken unfairly, and so commit to take actions that support Indigenous rights, land reclamation, and cultural equity. Call into this room all that you are grateful for. Let us remember that it is your generosity that creates this diverse and loving community. It is your time and life energy that makes what we have together even possible. Let us now take this morning's offering in gratitude. Thank you, everybody. And now, if you'll say with me our words of giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful, even in our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
This is a quote from Adrienne Marie Brown. I am learning that getting well in community is liberation. We are interdependent. When one of us attains freedom, it elicits, rekindles that longing in each of us. When we learn to feel, when we learn to stand with each other in feeling, when we learn to turn into the wisdom of our bodies, to love ourselves, to love each other, we are doing the unthinkable. We are creating new worlds of possibility. It is our duty to fight for freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love each other and protect each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains. And now our special music collective will share. Mm-hmm.
1923, the Reverend Norbert Chopek served as the minister of a large 3,000-person Unitarian congregation in Prague, Czechoslovakia. They met in a plain building, and as was true of most Protestant services at the time, they had no music, no beautiful windows, or coffee after the service. They came, they heard the sermon, and they left. Chopek wanted the people to understand the blessings of their community. He wanted them to see and feel and understand what a blessing it was to come together every week, each bearing unique gifts and creating a rich and vibrant community. One Sunday, Reverend Chopek asked everyone to bring a flower the next week, a budding branch, even a twig. What kind, they asked. You choose, he said. What color, they asked. Each of you choose as you like. The next Sunday, the first day of summer, people came to church with flowers. They brought yellow daisies and purple roses. They brought white lilies and blue asters, dark blue pansies and long branches with pale green leaves. The flowers spilled over, much like ours, with pink and purple, orange and gold, yellow and blue, filling all the vases they could find. We are like these flowers, Reverend Chopek said. different colors, different ages, different sizes. We are all different in so many ways. But each of us is beautiful and important in our own way, just like these flowers. All noticed how each flower was beautiful on its own, but also how they were absolutely spectacular together. This is one of the most enduring principles of our faith, that we each have worth and beauty, and that our diversity makes us spectacular. The years went on and the congregation flourished, participating in flower communion each year. Then, in 1938, the Germans invaded Czechoslovakia. Čapek was at the forefront of the protests. He said, we Czechs are becoming the backbone of the history of humanity. We are today the only nation in the whole of Europe that is ready to resist oppression. Confronting our descendants, we will never have to feel ashamed of the fact that as a small nation in the middle of Europe, we were ready to defend human dignity, freedom, and justice from violence, lies, and lawlessness. When the Nazis took full control of Czechoslovakia in 1940, they found Čapek's gospel of the inherent worth and dignity of every person, as the Nazi records show, too dangerous to the Reich for him to be able to live. And they sent him to Dachau. It may be true or untrue, but some say that Čapek held his final flower communion at Dachau. He invited other prisoners to find any bit of green in that place that they could. They created a simple pile, and he shared again the message of the worth and dignity of each person and the wonder whenever there is love within human community. Then each person took something from that wilted pile, a symbol of the earth's commitment to sprouting life, even in the darkest of times. Not long afterwards, Čapek died. Today, with Unitarian Universalist congregations across the world, we remember Čapek and celebrate his life-affirming communion. He reminds us that what we do and how we love matters. We will now begin our flower communion. These flowers do not need our blessing to be wonderful. They already are. They don't need our blessing to be strong. They already have strength deep within them, growing every day.
What they need is a place to grow. They need some care, whether by human hands or by the warm sun and blowing breeze and all the bees. They need to be a part of something. They are a blessing now, and they will continue to be a blessing. All they need to do is follow the fullness of life and grow into their true beauty.
We don't need a blessing to be wonderful. We already are. We don't need a blessing to be strong. We already have strength deep within us, growing every day.
What we need is a place to grow. We need someone to care for us and someone to care for. We need the sun and the wind and the bees too, to be a part of something grand and mysterious. May the spirit of life flow through us as surely as it flows through the flowers. We are a blessing now and will continue to be a blessing. All we need to do is follow the fullness of life and grow into our true beauty.
This morning, as you came to church, you brought with you a flower from your yard, from along the road, from a forest,
from a rose bush by the driveway, from a handy store. From many different sources, these many different flowers have come.
And here, piled together, they symbolize the creativity of nature. For as various as these flowers are, they do not even begin to exhaust nature's inventiveness in creating forms and colors and beauty.
And what nature has done for flowers, nature has done for us. We too are products of nature's creativity, each of us unique, mingled together, interacting. We do not become less unique, but rather find our uniqueness heightened.
Here in this place, here in this human community, we find the fuller dimensions of our individuality, the richer meaning of our existence, the profound delight of this world and our existence in this world.
Now, come forward. Take one of these flowers and take a different one than the flower you brought. Take it not to keep forever and ever. Nothing is forever.
Take a flower as a symbol of gratitude for beauty we did not create, for blessings we do not deserve, for joys which come unexpected.
Take a flower as your symbol of your participation in the community of this church, the community of humankind, the community of all living things, the universal community.
And if by chance you did not bring a flower, take one anyway. Take a flower as a symbol that beauty and grace and joy and love are not matters of reciprocity. In this world, we cannot earn or deserve that which is most important. It comes to us as a gift. Therefore, knowing how to receive is fully as important as knowing how to give.
So we invite you to come forward. We're going to go down this aisle and come up this aisle to take a flower, and we will begin with the first rows going down the aisle. So kids, first. No, this way. Down the aisle. No. Down the aisle. You're all the way around. All the way around. We will now rise and sing our final hymn, Let It Be a Dance.
Feel the need to bring the harvest.
breath into this beautiful day and dance with the beauty of this life and this community. We will now extinguish our chalice, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we meet again. And now the front will face the back, and we will sing our final hymn, Carry the Flame.